This is North Shore Today for Friday. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell.
And I'm Rick Moore.
And in today's program, a story in the item today says there's some satisfaction with the MBTA, if you believe that.
And in Rockport, there'll be a local film company that's going to be streaming classics online.
Okay, here we go. And we got a whole lot of other things, plus the Atlantic seaboard getting bracing for a huge winter storm. But for us, I almost said the word unfortunately, but I don't know whether I meant that or not, but apparently we'll not get this heavy snow up north of the Pike and so on up here on the North Shore, but we will get a glancing blow of this storm unless something changes, and who knows, that could happen, I suppose. But anyway, so we're going to miss the big winter storm. We got a few videos up there as well. We've had a few presidential videos up there this week, and I got one more today. This is Seth Meyers from the Late Show. I'm not sure what the name of it is. It's the one after the Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show. And Seth Meyers actually does probably the best analysis of this race, at least on the Democratic side, I think it is. So there's pretty good clips and stuff in there, photos. So we have Seth Meyers analyzing the presidential race, and also just some other random things. Eddie Murphy's very first appearance on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And then Rick, we were talking with Andrew last night about the Fiesta of all things in Gloucester, and that's kind of a summertime event, just the opposite of where we are, 180 degrees different, if you will, from where we are right now. And there's a video out there taken from a drone of the Greasy Pole, kind of a neat video, well done. So we got that up there as well. Folks can take a glance at that. So those are the videos that we have up on the post today.
Well, the Fiesta is only 5 months away. I saw a post on Facebook touting the Fiesta already. So, think warm, I guess.
Absolutely. Think warm. I was trying to go somewhere else, but I don't think I'm going to go anywhere else there. Let's just say think warm, and there we go. Well, Rick, the Essex Tech back in the news with that athletic center, correct?
Yeah, I guess they were supposed to vote last night, the Essex Tech School Committee, on whether or not to accept the proposal from a private sports company to build an arena. And of course, the article in the paper today by Paul Layton, it's in the Essex, the Gloucester Times Salem News, talks about the fact that the facility will actually be built on the grounds too far away for any Essex Tech students to use it during the school day. And it's unlikely that they're going to use it otherwise. So I guess they'll be allowed to use it for special events. That's the bad news. The good news is that looks like they're going to be paying, the company will be paying over $100,000 a year, I believe, in rent to lease the land. So that's a good thing. And again, keep your eye on that. The other thing out of Rockport, Bill, is that a Rockport man is introducing a new classic movies channel. It'll be hosted by Dana Hersey, of all people, and it will be streaming online to viewers for their smart TVs, tablets, phones, whatever. And the gentleman's name is Phil Hopkins. He's the CEO of The Film Detective. And he said that The Film Detective movie channel will be streaming classic Hollywood movies on Roku, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire with Dana Hersey introducing the films.
Wow. Welcome back, Movie Loft. Remember the TV 38 Movie Loft? What's next? Ask the Manager. Remember that show?
I was thinking
of
goodness,
that one. Yeah, remember that one? Dana Hersey and Ask the Manager. I forgot the name of that guy. Was it Sal something or other? Sal?
No, I don't remember.
I don't remember either. But yeah, Dana's obviously a North Shore guy, and that sounds great. And so the Movie Loft is back. Now, did Dana wear that ascot, or am I thinking of somebody else? Did he beef it, kind of spruce it up, the Movie Loft, and where the I think he's an actor himself. I think he's done some acting, I believe. I may be wrong on that. But anyways, he's a great entertainer, and that's fantastic.
Well, I think that from time to time he would, put something on that I think was a period piece, clothing, whatever. But the main thing about it was that he had such a great delivery in introducing the film, what it was about, who the actors were, what their relationships might have been with the movie or each other. He gave a lot of background in a very folksy way. So that should be really cool once that thing gets off the ground.
So that's coming out of – it's funny because wouldn't you I don't know what the business model for that would be, but you'd have to own those movies to be able to stream them, right? I mean, just –
apparently he does, yeah. The gentleman, Phil Hopkins, is a film collector, and he owns, I guess, over 3,000 hours worth of films, or over 3,000 films. I'm not sure which it is, but it's in the article. Again, it's in the Gloucester Times today.
Rick, I got an idea. I've got a box in a closet here, and it's from when my kids were little. I got some eight and some DVDs. No, not DVDs. Cassettes. What are those? What were those called? Where you go down and rent the movie, you bring it back. It was a cassette.
VHS.
VHS. Yeah, I've got some. I think I've got The Sound of Music, maybe Mary Poppins, things like that. Maybe we can show them on the website. What do you think?
Well, I've got some of my 2-year-old when she was a 2-year-old. Talking for the first time outside, so maybe that would be a hit too.
Well, yeah.
No.
Well, you could handle
you
that.
So?
You could handle that. maybe we get Dana to do the Mary Pop. My VHS collection, if you will. Yeah. We never called them. We didn't call them VHS when we just called them movies, right? Back then. I mean, because there was only VHS back then. I think I don't know what we called them.
Tapes. We just called tapes because we had
The
reel-to-reel tapes. What were those little ones? The little cassettes?
Well, we had cassettes, and then there was the 8 tracks before those. Some people had those and so on. But, okay. So that's kind of neat. Remember going down to the video store, Rick? I remember this many years ago. You go down to the video store, and you're walking around just trying to find a movie. And you're like, in there for, like, way too long, just looking around for a movie some nights, some evenings. But, with the family and just trying to figure out, trying to rent one movie and you go down and to bring it back the next day and so on. So those days are all over. No more video shops, no more Blockbusters on the corner anymore.
No, there isn't any of that. And as you and I were discussing with technology, trying to get some of the software for our business that we got in the past on a CD that you would own. Those things are going by the wayside now. Everything is becoming a subscription service, like Adobe Photoshop. You can't buy Adobe Photoshop. You have to subscribe to it and pay for it by the month, and other services like that. They're now services where they used to be items you could buy.
Yeah, there's a story in today's item that written by Gayla Colley about commuters keeping faith in the MBTA, and basically, it looks like she interviewed a number of different people, but. People that want to keep the schedule the way it is, but for the most part, it sounds like they're relatively pleased with what they have. It's kind of an interesting question. I know there's going to be some hearings. There's also a lot of talk about suspending late night service on the T, which I think is unfortunate. Not that it impacts me at all, but it does. I mean, at certain times, I think that I guess they had a hearing. Not a lot of people showed up for it this past week. A college student or two showed up and said they wanted to keep it, but it is too bad that you can't continue to do that. But apparently, they're going to be having to make those kinds of cuts with the T, and I think there are also some talk about some schedule changes as well on the T that might impact those that take the rail in from Rockport and Gloucester and Beverly and all the way down the line into the city. So.
Well, they want us to use public transportation, government does, and you look at places like Montreal or Paris or other places where the public transportation is very, very successful, and you just wonder why we can't model that, why we can't copy that model, but it doesn't seem to work around here for some reason or other.
Yeah, and I know I've told this story before, but, living at one point in Burlington, Vermont, not that far from Montreal, 90 miles away, go up to Montreal a lot for baseball games and so on. And so, one time or other, I can't remember why we were doing this, but we were well away from the ballpark, Olympic Stadium, but we were going to take the T for some reason, their version of the T, the Metro.
The Metro.
Yeah, and we were way away, and the way the city's laid out, you could come in and you could look and almost see the ballpark, but it was a long way away, one of those deals. And we got on the train, and I'm thinking, because I had ridden the T down here and other places, and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to take us like 45 minutes to get from point A to point B, meaning the ballpark. And it took like 15 minutes, and it was unbelievable. The train was was new, it was clean, it was quiet, the doors opened and closed. They quickly went through stop to stop, right up to speed, and we got there in like no time almost, and it was just it was a different system, and I get that. Ours runs on streets and so on, so whatever.
Yeah, I was amazed how clean and efficient the Metro was, but there are a lot of efficient public transportation systems around, so maybe someday that'll happen around here. I love the monorail down at Disney World. I mean, that was... I think back in the 50s or 60s when it was designed, it was ultra modern in the future. You go down there now and it's there's rust under it and there's all kinds of mess. You know, it looks like the concrete's falling apart. But it's still a very efficient, clean, quiet, easy way to move people.
Yeah, all right. And all right, and the other I've ever been to the airports where they have the train systems, kind of like a monorail system from I forgot what airports there I've seen that in, but it's kind of a neat thing. I think Newark has it actually, but there's a bunch of airports that have a little train that you can take, a monorail thing that takes you from terminal to terminal, and those things work pretty well. They go slow, but what the heck, they get you where you need to go. So that's the main point here. I'm trying to think what else. Not a lot of other things going on. We do have a high school basketball game happening tonight. Danvers will be playing over at Marblehead. Should be a good game. Two teams from that from the south. No, actually, Danvers is up in the north this year, right? So it'll be a good game tonight over in Marblehead. And also another story in the item today is that Soamska, the school committee, is taking another look at athletic fees. So we'll see what happens on that. They've had a meeting. They'll have more to go. They have a new superintendent, an interim superintendent in Matt Malone, familiar name, I think, former commissioner of education. I think. Not the Department of Ed, but the Commission of Education, and so, anyways, he's back on the North Shore and taking a look at athletic fees in the town of Saugus.
I talked to Kyle Hodson, who's the new athletic director up in Newburyport, and that video and audio interview, the radio interview, are both online. I was able to get that posted last night. Really excited. He's really excited about the job in Newburyport. He got the job. After school started, it was like 3 weeks into the school year already when he became the athletic director. So he had had some work cut out for him, but he settled in now, and it's a really good interview about the Newburyport Clippers and how well they're doing in so many different sports. And they've got a really big event coming up on Sunday with the boys basketball team playing at the TD Garden.
Yeah, I've seen it. I just glanced and saw that somewhere on something else. A couple of teams are playing down there, I believe. So that's kind of interesting. I didn't realize what that's all about, but a couple of teams are playing there, and yeah, that's kind of neat. Plus, they have the new turf on the football field up there, right?
They were able. I think they got the Thanksgiving Day game in. They're building, I believe, something else. Whether it's a baseball field. They're building a new baseball field. And they have a nationally ranked high jumper. Their high jumper is, I believe, sixth in the country. And he's confident, the high jumper is, that. And I'll let you listen to Coach Hodson talk about him. But he's confident he's going to hit 7 feet this year.
7 feet. Oh, my gosh. I'd have to be like 35 feet, I think, tall to hit 7 feet, maybe. Maybe that's how it would work, you know. So anyway, the other thing – I suppose the big stories, other than the snowstorm, but it's not going to impact us so much. But the football game, Rick. Everyone's buzzing about the football game. Watch the news today, and you know, there's Denver's feeling like they just don't get any respect nationally or whatever. We'll see what happens. But it's Denver and the Patriots in Denver on Sunday afternoon, about 3 o'clock game, and the Patriots are favored. Patriots are favored in that game.
Well, I guess they're favored by 4. I don't know what that means, but what I do like is, yeah, Denver's playing the, you know, the woe is us underdog role that the Patriots usually play. However, I do like the fact that the Patriots have a little bit of swagger back in their step right now, and they have a purpose. They feel disrespected, too. That's not going to go away. And I got to tell you, as, you know, as a sports fan, it's fun to feel disrespected, and we want, you know, we want to stick it to Goodell and the NFL about this Deflategate thing. A lot of it lately has come out on how wrong the NFL really has been in this whole deal. So let's go Patriots. You know, if they play as well as they can beat everybody. And if they don't, then anybody can beat them.
Right, exactly. And let's see here. Anything else, Rick, you want to touch on? We got a hockey game possibly tomorrow night, right, on Saturday night.
Yeah, weather permitting, but we'll be up in Gloucester, and I think it's Salem at Gloucester, and I apologize for not looking at the schedule. I'll get on that probably right after breakfast here this morning and get that thing organized, and we'll get it posted on the website. But, yeah, we'll have a hockey game from Gloucester at 6 p.m. tomorrow.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I think that's pretty much it for today on the program. We want to tell you that we love to have you email us. We have a few guests coming up as well, and we'll tell you more about that as our guest list is going to be increasing starting next week and so on. Got a bunch of people coming on, talking with some state representatives, some other community leaders, and so on. Plus, do check our sports posts as well. We'll have some updates there. Again, we're at the Danvers Marblehead boys basketball game tonight. We'll check on some other things happening on the website, and do check back. Follow us on Twitter, which is msonewsports.com, msonewsports.com, and then email us, too. That's another great way for you to stay in touch with us. Shoot us an email, shoot us a comment or whatever, and that's very easy to do. That's msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com.
And check out our hotline posts as well. Coach Denise Silva, Lynn Classical Swim Team, they played Lynn English last night. She's got a report up there. She does a great job in promoting the kids and how well they do. And also, got to give a shout-out, Bill, to Swampscott Boys Basketball Coach Dave Bourne. We're hoping the Big Blue will break through with a few more wins. Win or lose, he calls in a report, and he always gives credit to the other team's best players and so on and mentions them. And that's not easy when you're losing to do that. So, you know, we appreciate that, and good luck to the Big Blue.
No, they've been great over in Swampscott this year. They, you know, the girls have had a fantastic year. Coach Bourne's a great guy, and, you know, they'll be back. And the other thing, a couple of other things, we've got great response out of a lot of different areas. So, again, spread the word if you can, and follow us on Twitter. That always helps, because what we do is we'll retweet things and update things during the day. So we're following other news stories for you as well. So if you want to stay on top of some news and sports stories, we'll keep you posted on that throughout the day as well. Try not to be too obnoxious about it, but there are just so many things happening, and especially on our scoreboards as well. So, and we'll try to get some scores out to you during the broadcast tonight. Which will start about 6:45 tonight from Marblehead. So, what do you got, Rick? You're gone. You're done.
I'm just waving bye bye.
Oh, he's waving bye bye. Okay. No, we don't have our signal. We don't have our hand signals down yet.
No,
there's not some
kind of
international hand signal like like the cut thing going across your neck there. You know, the cut.
Yeah.
Cut that. Okay. All right. So let's give the cut signal right now. So here we go. Here's the cut signal. So with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for being with us on North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com. Have a great weekend, everybody.